This is tape number 2 on August the 8th, 1992.
All you have to remember is to discern. There's great love. How else are these ones going to offer you their spiritual sharing and their love? They know nothing else. And they are taught that unless you can perceive as they perceive, that you are lost. Can you not be bigger than that? Can you not know in your heart whether or not you are saved and recognize your responsibility? You'll shoulder that responsibility 100% on your own shoulders. And that which they give forth is erroneous, but they're close. Do you not see they're so close that the adversary had to spoil it the only way he knew how? And that was to lump it over here into some physical concept. That unless you do this physical thing, you can't make it. You don't need a go-between. You don't need a priest. You don't need a rabbi. You don't need Paul and Jan Crouch. You don't need Brother Jerry. He can hold your hand right to the gate. And then he's got to let go. And you're all on your own. And when God says, oh, well, why this? Oh, well, Brother Jerry told me. And I know that he is correct. Oh, wrong. Why didn't you go within where your knowing is? You think God is going to blame Brother Jerry? No way. He's done his job. He's done his job, and he's done it well. God will take that up with Brother Jerry. That's not your problem. And if you cannot do your homework and learn your relationship with God and what is creation and what is God, then it is your fault. And when you have opportunity to learn and you cast it aside and denounce the source, you blunder twice. Because now it becomes deliberate refusal to hear possibilities and discern in clarity with information, your own information. You have experiences every day that give you your confirmation. Every day something happens and you have alternative choices to make. And how often do you make the wrong one? What do you expect? How do you expect to learn? You will make wrong choices. It's the continuing to make the wrong choice that pulls you down. At some point, you must confront the correct choice and be strong enough to make it, and then follow through with it. It's a shocker, isn't it, to ones like John Trevor, who gets a bill for the IRS for some conjured fee of multiple thousands of dollars from the state. They base it on nothing. Their letter is anonymous. It's a form letter. It's this, it's that, and the other. They don't ever give you information either. And yet they come through with intimidation and promise of liens against your property. And yes, they can do it. Because they fixed the system. But responded to properly, they daresn't do it. They daresn't do it. And when you call them on it legally and you say, within 10 days, I expect a full response with all documentation, with full identification of exactly who is we. And I expect this from all supervisors to the top. If I do not receive, who submitted this bid to me and how they calculated what I owe you when I owe you nothing, and if all documentation proving all items as stated are not back on my desk in 10 days, I assume the case is dropped. When you get rid of the fear and the intimidation, there are alternatives. If you cannot see how to stop it totally, you stop it temporarily until the way to do it permanently comes into view. And you do it properly. You don't go off the deep end and shoot yourself because you're not going to pay them that amount of money. That is chicken way out. Every moment of every day, every breath you take is a choice. If you choose not to take the next breath, you will eventually die. It'll only take literally just a few minutes. So that choice of life or death rests in your very nose, your very lungs. Well, that doesn't count, you say? Oh, yes, it does. Because there's commitment and purpose in your experience. And it takes responsibility to confront it. And there's not one human being who does not grow the hard way into that responsibility through choices. And if this way has seemed an easy way to you, look again. And then perhaps you'll find that maybe you made some of those decisions on a higher plane at a prior time in your discernment, in your perception. I'm not going to give you great lecture on this particular writing. I think we did enough. But I think it's extremely important that you hear it, and that when you get it, you read it again. I'm not picking on Dear Over the Rainbow. This is pretty typical. It's pretty typical of those who just went with the flow, the flower child, if you will. I'm going to open this wonderful bookstore, and I'm going to give out great wisdom and understanding unto the multitudes. It's sad. This is one of the most sad predicaments that honorable victims of the system fall into. And we're grateful for the opportunity of sharing. Will Over the Rainbow accept response? Who knows? If Over doesn't, then Dorma's got 5 books. And it's time she got to read them also. One of them is The Rainbow Masters. So in discounting and casting aside The Rainbow Masters because of Dorma and Hatton, you have just thrown away the 7 Kohans' wisdom, along with God's. I would be most cautious were I these ones who want to do so much good and silence what they perceive to be incorrect and embarrassing. Better to be a little bit embarrassed than dead, if staying alive is your intent. You're up against serious, serious times. Why do you suppose your shuttle came down on the East Coast this time? They have worked with rockets, not the shuttle. The whole thing is a lie. The whole thing is a farce. But they have worked absolutely, incredibly diligently every moment until they were forced to give up to ignite that radioactive belt. Have you squeaked through? How many of you know you're still here? Does that mean that you are not being saturated this moment with photons? Look at your sky. What's out there? When do you remember a clear sky, the color that you're getting in the evening? What's out there? Don't be quick to judge that God has somehow betrayed you when man has set forth to slay you in secret so that you can't even prepare. And ones like this come forth denouncing we who are sent to warn you so that you might prepare and tell you you have no need of it and denounce the possibilities as fear tactics to sell books. Be cautious this very day and keep in mind you had a +6 earthquake off Japan yesterday. You had a +6 earthquake off Alaska yesterday. You had a 3.5 plus hundreds in the Mojave Desert yesterday. And today again, the earth is just giving it this. And you better be wondering what in the world is holding it. And be thankful that it holds. Every moment, every day is one more gift. One more gift. Will it hold till Commander Grikes can get out here and begin to give you truth? As Rennick did from this room. Who knows? You know that Bush is running out of time. They couldn't ignite the radioactive belt. Time runs shorter. FEMA is in complete and total control of your nation under the Charter of the United Nations now. Now, this moment. The black box, the football, the nuclear codes have been changed by the Pentagon, taken away from your commander-in-chief. Your commander-in-chief slash president of the United States of America is not in control of America except through executive order, waiting to trigger either capitulation or emergency regulation. Your armies are at stand, at ready. You're shipping your army back to the Middle East to get them out of the way. And great signs are shown of them marching ashore to what? Finish this job. Finish what job? I thought they told you this was a regular, pre-planned, but a little bit speeded up exercise. Finish. I wonder, could it have anything to do with Saddam and George's little joint venture through the BNL in Chicago. And how many of you even knew BNL had a branch in Chicago? Damn few. But I should only speak of heavenly things. What would you like for me to speak on heavenly things? If you don't get your soul in order with God, how many of you are going to experience heavenly things? I could speak until you are gone. And if you don't know what is, you ain't going to know what is going to be. Because it doesn't matter. You will just progress into death, slavery, whatever it is, without knowing. And when you make that transition without knowing, you have not made capable choice. So the lesson's going to have to be repeated till you know it. Does that matter to Hatton? No. Not one iota. But my job is to bring the word. And to bring the word, I have to tell you what is and what has happened up until now that gets you into this position so that you can have any inkling of how to get out of it. I don't see any other way to do it, or I would most happily and joyfully do it. I would rather do it while you ones are sitting eating spaghetti somewhere, except on the 15th, when you might think of your brother who sits in prison, enslaved, waiting out his days to be shot, so that you don't know the truth. Not a pretty picture, is it? How do you feel about your sons, your lovers, your friends, your husbands, your daughters, going off to war with that kind of backup in case you get in trouble? How do you feel about a barracks full of people who are going to come home and tell you the truth, and instead they are blown away off the map to silence them? It's not a fun journey. I don't enjoy this. I enjoy teaching you how to fly. I enjoy teaching you how to ascend and not escape. I wonder if we'll be allowed that kind of time to ever get to that. Well, I can just tell you one thing. In the end, God wins. And if there are only three of you, that's fine, because we all just become one. And it's certainly all right either way. But I'm going to do my mission. And there are a heck of a lot of you that fully intend to do yours. And we just have to remember that we join hands and we hold strong. And there's nothing can touch us. We will get it done. But you can't just continually weaken. Turn the other cheek doesn't mean to spin around like a top and wait for the next blast to keep you going. You're going to have to at some time take a stand. And I'll tell you, I would cover my assets with God. Not some maybe whodunit. Great instructor who gives you gobbledygook. I don't know how to be more straightforward with you. It's taken a long time to get to the point where you can accept my straightforwardness. In the beginning, it was, my goodness, ease up a bit, Commander. We don't have time for the easing up. The time of choosing is at hand. They intend to have an operating plan 2000 by 2000. That means a lot of things have to come together. A lot of stuff will hit that fan. And day to day, it may not be seen, but over a period of time in looking, you can see. They're not going to announce it from CNN. Ted Turner said Don't count on God. There is no God, and he will not help you. Quote Ted Turner of CNN. And Mr. Turner wrote his own Ten Commandments, called the Turner Ten Commandments. Now, we've written them for you so you can believe it. He sits to the right of the president, or Gorbachev, or Mr. Kissinger, in pecking order at state dinners with Mr. Bush. Goodness gracious! Do you think they're going to get up there and show you the picture of Greer detonating the device? Oh, I think not. Does it matter who shot Kennedy? No, it does not, except for the cover-up. It does matter, the elite who are still going around without blame, in full protection of the government. And you see what is in store. No matter who the Republicans get into that presidential slot, that man, the greatest criminal on your planet, as far as your nation is concerned, will be pardoned. And that will constitutionally and legally take care of the problem. By then, you will be under United Nations martial law. The forces are set. The military bases, the officers, the corps, if you will, are being required by order to remove their insignias and replace them with FEMA insignia. That is your transition into total United Nations armed control. And what do we know from the United Nations Charter? That force will be headed by a Russian. I can't offer you milk and honey. I have none. Yes. Please.
In my trips to Vegas, most of the equipment that I see running on the highway, alongside the highway in the desert, most of it doesn't have U.S. insignia. And interestingly enough, I'm kind of nudged to share this, that a lot of it is Algerian for one reason or another.
Isn't that interesting? Would you care to go back and read the letter that referred to Algeria? Thank you. Let's hear some more. You ones are the ones that will do this. Because as there is a sharing place in security, ones will share. And they'll share observations. And we have had an inpouring of offloaded secret military equipment in dozens, hundreds of places. And they want to know what about it. I don't have any more to offer. I'm not going to silence. I care not if you once plug your ears and will not hear, or you get into ridicule and you consider that something didn't happen. I am moving more and more and more from not telling you, but just repeating. Because confirmation needs to come from what is going on in front of you, so that we can get on to enlightening you on things that are higher, that you cannot know until you remember. And that's what the Liberator is about. At the time of your Constitution ratification, there were the Federalist Papers. Somebody must take responsibility and speak out. Like the Liberator, it didn't happen just overnight. These ones got together to see how in the world do we get word to the people. And the Federalist Papers may be the dreariest, driest, and most miserably written things to get through, but the most informative one set of documents regarding your Constitution that you will ever experience. And then in the time of the greatest upheaval in your nation, not a war for independence, a civil war to tear apart your nation, to split it asunder along some Mason-Dixon line over slavery. Came the Liberator. There must be the daring speakers. And none of you feel daring. None of you feel daring. I don't equate what you feel with fear. It's frustration, anxiety, and pure terror. It's not easy to have a sonic blast against your house when you know it's aimed at you. But it sure does make you comfortable when you blink your eyes and see that you are still there and functionable. Please, let's use caution and care. Do not go forth as if you are indestructible, because you are destructible the moment you change your attitude. What you are doing is daring and is dangerous. But as long as you do what you do for God, there is nothing can touch you. And you think that just keeping a body alive is the answer? No. Within yourself, once you know, and really kind of prefer that they go ahead and blast you off so that you can get out of this mess. You've made it. Most of you are not there. Most of you are still grasping at what do I do to save myself just a little bit longer until I fulfill a mission, or I do this or I do that. Do you not understand that if you're blasted off, your mission is fulfilled? If you have stuck with your mission. So we have to remain in understanding of what we're about. And we play the role together. And this is the play. And we keep going. And we choose this format. It's the only one you cannot get on international media, can you? And one say, well, this is very slow. Oh, who else has done this much in 3 years? Name me one. Just one. Recognize your unworthiness. Stop battering yourself. Just because you don't feel you're anything special, that only makes you closer and favored in God's eyes. Because you can't do it. And live with your ego too. There's no way.
There have been massive, massive movements of just what you would call traditional warfare weapons. Now, of course, this is not the Civil War or World War I, so they're very sophisticated weapons still. But they're not nuclear warheads particularly. But you have to understand that they have new strains of virus You see, when they were able to create the HIV virus, this left open all the doors. They can create now DNA structured anything. They can make very, very sophisticated viral smallpox, when smallpox itself was not originally a virus. But it can be duplicated now. The DNA of the smallpox can be introduced now into a crystalline virus and given the life of a smallpox disease causer. And so most all of your oncoming diseases will be literally crystalline-based, man-created viral housings to carry whatever they decide to be the DNA. So I believe that most of your protection will need to come from earth disease and just simple food and water. If you don't go out to fight them, they don't have any reason to shoot you, unless they're just going to blanket shoot everybody in a community. Now, they're perfectly capable of doing that or blowing you away. But it depends on where you are. There isn't any way to protect yourself, really. You better keep the light around you and hope they're going to blast you with something that will counter. And I'm sure that all of you have been given to see these visions of how it will be. And these are visions of such total devastation that your mind just reels at it and you turn it off just as fast as you can. And yes, here is the confrontation in front of you. It would be almost better, wouldn't it, if in a place like Los Angeles just peeled off and buried everybody in the bottom of the sea. But that's not an answer either. It sure would be better if it took those nuclear power plants and just buried them under the sea, because water will cleanse and take out that radioactivity. But still, it will pollute your ocean front, won't it? It is a massive, massive, traumatic job to be faced, to be confronted. And the obvious thing is, ones who do see it began to not be able to function in the daily living, because you don't see any value in the daily living anymore. It is so overwhelming what you've got to face that this trivial little piece of nothing cannot be happening. This cannot be happening because it's so serious out here. How can anyone dwell on this? If it's like parole quitting, so what? You have an opportunity if you use it. Each thing that happens to you, even in the visions that you get, you should begin to start thinking of how do you handle that. If you're only one of a few left, what in the world are you going to do with that massive, massive problem? And I hear a lot of you. Well, we're going to call on you, aren't we, brother? And yes, I expect you will. And yes, I expect that we'll do a lot of the cleanup. We can't handle it.
What about refugees from the quake?
Where is the mic?
Thank you.
Don't we have people coming from the LA area, the survivors, into Tehachapi?
Yes. And now I'm going to tell you something that's going to be very harsh and very hard for you. Everybody's had equal opportunity to either mock God, serve with God, listen to the warnings, prepare. Your job is not to save the ones from a natural disaster. That's exactly what the adversary would like you to do. Become totally immobile and silent. Quit whatever it is you're doing to try to save this little multitude of people who didn't take care of themselves, didn't listen, still don't listen, and won't listen, and will still deny, and yet will come to take over your home and eat your food if they have to get you out by way of gun. Yes, you will have.
And yes, each of you are going to have an influx of family, probably. Although, once again, in some ways, you're going to be a little better off because most of your families think you're crazy. And they, you know, it's going to be a real toss-up. Well, I don't know that you should let them in. Maybe leave them out on the lawn. I don't remember, son, that you thought I was very bright. Why have you come here? In fact, I began to listen to you, Junior, and I got rid of all my stuff. I was headed for your house. Preferably meet them in the car. I was just coming to your place. Whatever are we going to do? You better keep your sense of humor, but you better keep your ability to reason. Your responsibility, if in fact you made a commitment to God, is to God. And that may mean that you have to withdraw. I don't want any of you stepping out there being a martyr. Your job is alive. Alive, not dead. So whatever you can do to help in a relief situation, yes. I would suggest that you not break into survival foods, storehouses, anything to service an earthquake. Those are things you need for survival to get a remnant through. And earthquake is only going to be number one, show and tell. Be very careful what you do. It isn't like you can have one disaster, use it all. Where are you going to replenish from? If it happened this day, how could you afford to replenish it? How many of you even have enough that it would be a problem to replenish it? You'd be basically like starting over. I don't have any magic for you. And I've answered these questions over and over again. And I know that we want reassurance. And I know that the ultimate is that you ones would like me to say, oh, don't worry, I'll just snatch you up and we'll just have a ball while everybody else suffers. No, it won't be that way. You see, when you depend upon God, you better start listening to the way God responds and answers you. He will give you ways in the physical format that you can solve that problem. And then when you start solving those problems from a spiritual aspect on that plane, that's where you're going to be. You solve those problems on the spiritual plane from the spiritual plane. You solve your earth problems from an earth manifestation. So you better just listen and do whatever you can.
Excuse me, Commander. I'm Alexander Tom. I would like to introduce myself. Talking about the AIDS epidemic, I think it's gone globally, aside from my reading the journals. You know, I've researched it myself. I've seen the, you know, the commentary they do about this, the seriousness of the situation. And I've read from some articles that they have used germs before to lessen populations. I think it's true to the example of Saddam Hussein. So, and I've also gathered that they have introduced this virus through inoculation. Do we have to protect ourselves and keep watch on whether we might be invited to, you know, get these inoculations? So like smallpox or flu or whatever, or swine flu vaccine, whatever. So do we have to, you know, possibly get in contact with a private doctor and just pay the doctor's fees and say, hey, we have already taken the inoculation. Is that another way through it?
I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to manage it. Actually, for the few who refuse to take it, they may let you get away without it. You see, the unfortunate part is it can work both ways. In some instances, it's going to be the only thing that will save your necks. On the other hand, knowing whether or not you are amongst the group to be infected is very, very hard to discern in advance. They do keep those records very, very tight. Already, you know, the police departments, for instance, are requiring that their troopers are, during training period, be inoculated against hepatitis B, and then they go through all of the training procedures of gloves and arrest procedures to stop any danger of contagious disease. It's going to be very, very hard. I would suggest that you try very hard to not take those, period. As I told Aileen when Andy was to get his vaccinations, and it was such a big flap, and we were having a measles epidemic. I mean, where babies were dying. You're torn. So my instructions are, if you participate in any of the programs, do not be the first from a new batch. Try to time your own injection to coincide with a near empty bottle, which would allow, or supply, which would allow the reactions to have already occurred, if there were going to be immediate reactions. Most of what would be introduced will be a typical AIDS type of virus if they're looking to annihilate people quite a ways out there. Hepatitis is a good one to inoculate you with, actually, because it takes a while for the liver to begin to shut down and the symptoms, you know, to become. And then all they've got to do is say, oops, it must have been a contaminated batch. They never seem to have to answer for what they do. So there's no magic.
Excuse me. To go on with a question. My brother was watching a TV program, and he just told me that there was a fresh batch of needles, you know, infected lazily. You know, it was on TV, I think it was about 3.5 months ago. So,
well, you see, if you're amongst a group in a riot area that they bring under control and then take to the local National Guard unit or compound or any of these military bases, you see, you're going to have holding areas. Now, these are the places where they keep people for 2 or 3 or 4 days. And sometimes then, it's like the Holocaust version of the gas chambers. They did have delousing chambers, and typhus and typhoid fever broke out in those compounds. Disease runs rampant when you have any kind of a group setting. Just let one person have dysentery, and that gets into the water, and you've got everybody with it. So it is a serious problem, and you can count on the government coming in and under the guise of we have to keep everything under control until you are released or till we can get you placed or whatever, we have to demand that everyone get an inoculation. So these are the ways that they can get it done to you. And if you object, they may shoot you. They probably will first remove you. Or maybe it depends on who is doing the forcing. They may just shoot you for the example. You're going to come into a very heinous period of time where there will no longer keep the face going.